Hello, I'm Donovan Kane. Welcome back to the podcast, where I've been reading you Deep in the Woods, Book 1 of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. Today I will continue to read you Annabelle Joseph's book with Episode 11. Chapter 11. Sophie's shift was nearly over, finally. The afternoon had crawled by. Sophie thought for the thousandth time that she didn't even need to be here. She didn't even need to slog into her interminable shifts at the UPS store. Dave had told her many times that he was happy to support her while she was in school. But she had plenty of downtime to study and do assignments at work, and she felt better contributing something to the bills and Dave's mortgage payment. And a part of her just didn't want to ever depend completely on a man again. Dave understood. Somehow, he understood everything. Just like the lens of his ever-present camera, he always took in the whole picture, saw and understood nuances that most people missed. That's why Sophie worried so much about him finding out about her secret trips to Overton Park. She let Dave think she got off at 5, even though she got off an hour earlier some days. She glanced at her watch. She would have a good half hour to walk the trails before Dave would start to get suspicious about her coming home late. To assuage some of her guilt, she told herself it was only for exercise. Anyway, she was his submissive, not his child. If she chose to hike a trail after work for relaxation and exercise, she didn't suppose she needed to report to him like some little girl. She was a grown woman. But she knew deep inside those weren't the reasons she didn't tell him. She didn't tell him because he would ask too many questions she didn't want to face. Not yet. She was still trying to unravel the mystery that dogged her, a mystery that made her heart beat hard and her stomach ache with some kind of uneasy pain. She wanted to figure it out on her own, so she went a few days a week to the small clearing at the top of the rocky, eroded pathway and sat. She tried to remember what this clearing meant to her. She knew it was tied to her nightmares, horrible, vague nightmares where nothing made sense, and bright flashes blurred her vision, so she squinted and cried. Even those nightmares, she tried to hide from Dave now, from his probing, dissecting gaze. At Dr. Perez's office, she only smiled and said she was doing better. And she was doing better, mostly. She was excited about tonight because Dave's friend Ryan would be arriving for a visit. Dave had spoken highly of his old friend, showing Sophie photos and telling her stories of their childhood together and all the scrapes they got into as teens. He also told her about their experiences with women. Dave had asked her in the course of their conversations if it was okay if he lent her to Ryan, and Sophie had said yes. He was very cautious in the language he used. "I'm considering lending you to him. I think he would enjoy you." He phrased it as a statement, but Sophie knew it was a question. If she had made the slightest movement or expression of unease, he wouldn't have mentioned it again, but he knew she was curious about being shared. There was something so hedonistic about being loaned out to another man. Of course, it wasn't just any man. It was a man Dave trusted to be with her, and a man who shared Dave's proclivities. "He plays hard, harder than me. But he plays safe, Sophie. I think between the three of us, we'll have fun." So Dave would be there. He wouldn't just shove her at Ryan and wait in another room for her to be returned later. No. She had known all along that wasn't his style. He was far too possessive of her, which was a big part of why it felt okay. It would be an interesting experience. But before then, while last night's dream was still fresh, she would spend a little more time out in the woods. Ryan's flight was early, so Dave decided they might as well swing by Sophie's work on the way home. Lord knew she always complained about how bored she was. They could rub it in while she was trapped behind the counter. Dave had told her enough times that she could quit any day she wanted to. When her medical courses started in earnest, he and Sophie's father both agreed that she would not continue working, but let them support her. Sophie, of course, had other plans. Well, Dave knew how to get his way with her if he really needed to. He could always bring out the Dom voice, but he didn't want to overuse it. She was getting mouthy enough now that he was hopelessly wrapped around her finger. Maybe the Dom voice did need a little fine-tuning. There was always tonight. He glanced over at Ryan. So I spoke to Sophie about the group thing. Ryan stretched his long legs out in the passenger seat. What did she say? She sounded up for it, but we'll see how the evening goes. No pressure on either side. Ryan nodded. Sure, I mean, it will either click or it won't. No need to force anything. The two men fell silent as Dave remembered exactly why he and Ryan had been friends for so long. Things were always easy between them. Dave felt a sense of pride in introducing Sophie to Ryan. At the same time, he was worried about them not hitting it off. When they arrived at her workplace, Dave didn't recognize the guy behind the counter, and Sophie was nowhere to be seen. Can I help you? The guy asked. He looked like a high school dropout. Why the hell was Sophie wasting her time working here? I came to say hi to Sophie. Is she around?
She left almost an hour ago. She got off at 4.
The kid turned his back on Dave, as if that settled things. Dave narrowed his eyes and looked at Ryan, then back at the skinny kid behind the counter. I thought she was supposed to work until 5 today.
She only works until 5 on Fridays now.
That's interesting, Dave mumbled, before turning on his heel. Ryan followed him out the door. Let's head home. I'm sure she's waiting for us there. Luckily for his temper, Sophie was waiting back at the house. He introduced her to Ryan and then waited for her to tell him where she'd been. When she didn't, he pulled her into the bedroom and shut the door, leaving Serby to entertain the new visitor. He turned to face her with his arms crossed over his chest. Ryan and I stopped at the UPS store on our way home from the airport. The alarm that flared in her eyes confirmed his suspicion that she was keeping secrets from him. His frown deepened. Rather than giving me any apologies or excuses, let's cut to the point where you tell me exactly where you've been going between the time you leave work at 4 and the time you come home after 5.
I've been going to Overton Park.
You'd better add a sir.
I've been going to Overton Park, sir. To walk after work.
Is there a reason you thought I wouldn't want to know that?
I don't know.
A hint of petulance lurked around the corners of her voice.
I just like to get some fresh air after being shut up in the store all day, and get exercise.
I've told you how many times by now that you don't have to work there if you don't want to.
This doesn't have anything to do with that, sir,
she added quickly as he arched his brow.
I mean, I've explained to you why I want to keep working.
Fine. Now, explain to me why you're sneaking off to the park after work.
I wasn't sneaking off. They started letting me go at 4, and I thought I'd use the extra time to visit the park. I like it there.
It's not safe. You going off on your own down those trails without letting anyone know where you are. I don't understand this behavior, Sophie. I really don't.
I just need some alone time sometimes. And I was afraid if I told you about it, you'd stop me from going.
If I were you, I wouldn't say anything else. Because what you're admitting is that you knew I wouldn't like it, and therefore kept it a secret from me.
He scrutinized her, trying to figure out what was going on behind her shuttered gaze.
If you wanted to go to Overton Park after work, all you had to do was ask me. I could have met you, and we could have gone together. Talk to me. Are you getting tired of me? You don't like being with me anymore?
No, sir. That isn't it at all.
Then what? Again, the closing off, the shutting down, just as she'd done the other night after her dream. He rubbed his eyes, not knowing what to do. Lecture her? Ask her again when she was seeing Dr. Perez? She just loved when he did that. He decided the best thing to do was to salvage what was left of the night. He placed one thumb under her chin and lifted it. Do you ever go anywhere without telling me? Yes or no?
No, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I know I should have told you, but I just didn't want to.
Yes, I see that. Not very good behavior, is it?
I try hard to take good care of you, to protect you. There's an agreement between us that you don't keep secrets from me. Not secrets like this.
Yes, sir. I know.
I'm afraid I have no choice but to punish you. She was truly sorry. He could see it in her downcast gaze, the tremor in her lips. She looked up at him in sudden embarrassment.
But, Ryan...
Yes, Ryan will hear you being punished. He's a sadist like me. I'm sure he'll enjoy listening to you get your due. Anyway, it's strange that you're so concerned about Ryan when I'm the one you should be worried about. I'm not happy with you, girl. She nodded, looking devastated. Part of him wanted to relent, pull her close, and hug her until the situation ebbed away. But that wasn't how things worked between them, especially with serious breaches of conduct like this. Instead, he took a deep breath and said, "Undress." He watched her take off her clothes with his arms crossed over his chest. When she stood before him nude, flushed and anxious, he took one nipple and pinched it hard. "As you are now, Sophie, that's how I want you always. Naked to me, open, exposed. Do you understand what I mean? I don't want you keeping secrets and hiding yourself away from me. If that's what you want, you're with the wrong person." She sniffled through a quick, miserable shiver. He took the other nipple and twisted it for good measure. "You're my girl, and I take care of you. I can only do that if you let me. You know I love you." She shivered again before answering.
"Yes, sir."
"Get the cane for me, and go lie down on the bed." Those words brought real tears. Dave only used the cane for bona fide punishments, because Sophie didn't like it at all. She brought the implement back to him like it was a knife or firearm, handing it over with a stricken look. "Are you worried about being too loud?" he asked. "Would you like to be gagged?"
"Yes, sir. Please."
She nodded in relief. "Go get the ball gag, then. Quickly. Serby can only keep Ryan entertained for so long." He watched her pert ass cheeks shift as she hurried across the room and knelt to find the ball gag. Although he was upset, he still managed to daydream a moment about the marks he was going to impart on the gorgeous canvas. She returned, and he fitted the gag in her mouth, tightening the straps. Sophie crawled onto the bed, lowering her body with a reluctance that made his dick throb. God, he had to punish her and get back out to his guest. He didn't have time to fuck her now. But Jesus Christ, she made it hard to resist. Arms up. He strapped her hands into the cuffs that were kept permanently attached to the headboard, and then fixed her ankles to the cuffs on either side of the footboard so she was held tight. He had learned some time ago that Sophie needed restraints to take the cane. Speaking of restraint, it took every ounce of his self-restraint not to fall on her when she was this way, trembling in fear of what was on the way, but submitting to it anyway. Even with her tears and shame at being punished, it was impossible not to notice the shiny wetness between her legs. He subdued the urge to molest her and instead landed the first stroke. His cock twitched as he watched her whole body tense and come alive from the pain. The first had been a warm-up, smarting but bearable. The second made her cry out in a long, muffled wail. He waited between each stroke, letting the searing fire burn, spread, and subside before laying on the next. By the fifth stroke, she started begging for respite behind the gag. By the seventh, her pleas had commuted to sobs of self-recrimination and despair. Each stroke made her leap and then writhe in the aftermath, pulling at her restraints so her whole body seemed to fight the pain. When she had 10 livid stripes across her backside, he stopped and put the cane away in its place beside the bureau. He listened in the silence to Sophie's sobs. He returned and sat beside her on the bed, but she turned away. "Look at me." She turned back, a mess of tears and slobber. He removed the gag and wiped her chin with a tissue, then brushed away her tears as she stared back, pain still coloring her gaze. "Do you feel better now that you've been punished for what you did?" She nodded.
"Yes, sir. Thank you for punishing me. I deserved it.
It was a hard punishment, but I want you to understand how important it is not to keep secrets from me.
She nodded. A few last tears strained down her cheeks as Dave went about unfastening her wrists and then her ankles. When he finished, he pulled her into his lap and pinched her sore ass cheeks. She whimpered a weak protest, but he ignored her discomfort, stroking the welts to feel her tense against his chest.
Not now. Don't fuck her now.
He forced himself to stand and pull her to her feet.
Now, go get the medium plug and the clamps. You're going to write lines while Ryan and I go for some takeout.
Sophie crossed to the chest of toys again, returning with the nipple clamps draped over one arm by their connecting chain and the medium silver anal plug in her hand, already dabbed with lube. He noticed with amusement that she had been quite stingy with the lube. Nothing like a subby who punished herself.
Bend over the bed.
Sophie grabbed the footboard and bent over, spreading her legs without being told. Dave worked the plug into her, in and out, judging by her short moans of discomfort, went to shove it into the hilt. He pressed the base against her, making sure it was fully seated.
Who do you belong to?
He asked against her ear.
You, sir.
She exhaled with a shudder.
Stand and present your breast to me.
Sophie stood and turned to him, taking deep breaths as he pinched her nipples and applied the biting clamps to each tender point.
Now, you know what to do. When you're finished, remove the clamps and get dressed again. You'll continue to wear the plug until I tell you otherwise, as a reminder of how naughty you've been. I'm going to go with Ryan to Chin Chin's to get dinner.
Yes, sir.
She swallowed. A telltale scarlet blush was flooding her cheeks.
Will I be eating with you both tonight?
You certainly will. When I come back, I expect to find you sitting in the living room, waiting for us.
She blushed even redder.
I'm just so embarrassed, sir, for my behavior and having to be punished with him waiting out there.
As well you should be. But when the lines are done, your punishment will be over and you'll snap out of it and be a pleasant hostess for my friend. Let's turn the night around, baby.
He smiled and tugged on the chain dangling across her chest.
Now get busy. The longer these stay on, the more sore you'll be, and you're already going to have a hard time sitting.
Sophie moved to the desk and pulled out some of the lined notebook paper Dave kept on hand for one purpose and one purpose only, writing lines. Sophie wrote lines at least once every week, although not usually for such serious misbehavior. More often than not, she wrote them with clamps on her nipples, a nagging background of ache to add to the humiliation. The chain hit against the edge of the desk as she leaned over and picked up her pencil. She shifted on the hard wooden chair, feeling every one of the 10 stripes on her burning cheeks, not to mention the intrusive plug in her ass.
I will not keep secrets from my sir. I will not keep secrets from my sir. I will not keep secrets from my sir. I will not keep secrets from my sir.
Some small part of her, as ever, whined,
Why are you doing this?
But the greater part of her was careful to write in neat, even print, to capitalize every sir and dot every I. She knew why she did it, because she needed it. Why she needed it was a more difficult question, but thankfully, one she felt less and less worried about answering. She loved Dave, and he loved her. They made each other happy.
Enough said.
But those thoughts made the tears come again, confused tears of gratefulness mixed with self-reproach and shame.
I will not keep secrets from my sir. I will not keep secrets from my sir.
Sophie thought she might have written, I should not keep secrets from my sir instead. Or I really, really wish I hadn't kept secrets from my sir, because now I feel so awful. Or, I'm the luckiest girl on earth to have such a wonderful sir. Or, what was I thinking sneaking around behind his back? But Dave probably wouldn't appreciate her efforts at creativity,
or an essay on why she loved him so much, and how she would never keep secrets from him or go into the woods again without his knowledge. Look at what happened to Little Red Riding Hood when she went traipsing alone around the forest. Sophie smiled and shifted again on her aching hindquarters. She had a sudden strong urge to touch herself, to lie down and masturbate herself silly on the bed where Dave had just caned her. But that would have been tragically reckless. 10 more cane strokes on top of the one she had didn't sound very nice. And then more lines with her poor nipples clamped and the chain dangling down between them.
"I will not keep secrets from my sir and then masturbate myself silly after he punishes me. I will not touch myself without sir's permission, no matter how much I ache for that relief. I will not fantasize about sir sharing me with his friend, with sir's cane marks on my ass and my breasts still aching from his clamps. I will not obsess about the plug in my ass and the likelihood that sir will use me there later, or perhaps sir's friend, or perhaps both. I will concentrate on my lines. I will be a good sub."
Sophie sighed. The ache in her nipples was building, nearly throbbing now, and she still had 2 pages of lines to fill.
"I will not keep secrets from my sir. I will not keep secrets from my sir. I will not keep secrets from my sir."
The end of this episode. Come back tomorrow, and I'll read you episode 12 of Deep in the Woods, book 1 of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. You can find out more about Annabelle Joseph and her books at annabellejoseph.com. I'm Donovan Kane. Thank you for listening.